Sponsorship for today's podcast is brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. We are very thankful to have the team over at touringplans.com sponsor the Be Our Guest podcast for the last several years, because they truly do offer a service to each and every guest who travels to Walt Disney World or the Disneyland Resort. They have one major goal, and that's to keep you out of lines and seeing the most amount of attractions possible on that next vacation. And they do this by gathering data daily and applying that data to your vacation. They know where to go when because they have been there, and they study trends to know what is happening, and they can make very accurate predictions so that you can rest easy knowing you're going to have a great Disney vacation. One of the tools you're going to have is the Optimizer, which lets you pick the attractions you are most interested in and lets you know the way to see those attractions with the least amount of wait. Many other tools as well. You'll be thankful to have them as a partner when you plan your next trip. Check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 940 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rahman, from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and it's a nice week here because a lot of folks have either a 3 or 4 day week, depending on if you get Black Friday off. But it's a great week here in the United States. Thanksgiving is coming up on Thursday, and we have so much to be thankful for here on the podcast. And most of all, it's that you listen each and every week. So thank you so much for downloading the show today. It's going to be a Mike and Ricky show. We're going to kind of take the holiday week and have some fun looking at the evolution of one of our theme parks, or what we think is going to happen with one of the Walt Disney World theme parks. So joining me today, very thankful for her, we have Ricky from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Happy Thanksgiving a few days early, Ricky.
Aw, it is Thanksgiving week, and I'm, you know, running around like a turkey with my head cut off, but because my parents are in town this week. So, yeah, it's a crazy, crazy week, but that's quite all right, and I'm going to have Thanksgiving dinner here this week, too, so crazy, but it's a fun time. I personally have a 3 day week, which is awesome. Actually, I guess I have a 2.5 day week because I get to leave early on Wednesday. So, I mean, you can't complain about that, right?
I've got you beat. We're off on Wednesday, so I got a 2 day week.
Yeah, I know. But see, I'm not a school teacher, so it's I think personally that it's awesome that I will have, as not a school teacher and working a corporate job, that I have a half day Wednesday, then I'm off Thursday and Friday, because I didn't think I'd be off Friday, but I am, so yay!
Yeah, and may the force be with all those folks working in retail at the tail end of this week.
Absolutely. Trust me. My brother used to work in retail, and he would not get to enjoy Thanksgiving because he would have to go to the store, you know, to set up, or
it
might have been
that.
Open too. So
it's so sad when folks can't spend family time, but you know, that's just kind of where I stand. Kind of like Walt, you know, I think family time trumps all, but you know, we got to get out there and get our cheap TVs. So
absolutely. Yeah.
All right. Well, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about Disney's Hollywood Studios. Of course, it is the theme park at Walt Disney World, probably undergoing the most change currently. You know, of course, Animal Kingdom's going through a lot too. I mean, and it's going to be
not as in your face, I don't think.
No, it's not. But the thing is, you know, the stuff at Animal Kingdom Lodge will be completed sooner than the Hollywood Studios stuff. So let's kind of, here's what I thought we would do. We'd sit down today, talk for about 20, 25 minutes about 3 points in time and kind of see where this park is going to be. So we're going to look at the park, you know, what's the experience going to be like for a visitor next summer? Okay, so when you go down in 6 months, say you go in June or July, what's that experience going to be like? How is that going to impact the guests? Then let's look 3 years from now. So then let's look at, like, you know, 2019, and then 10 years from now. And so, like, in 2026, and kind of project what we think the experience is going to be like. And, you know, as I thought about this topic, and I kind of wanted to explore it a little bit with you, Ricky, and just kind of talk it through. It's one of those things where I think you got to kind of have short-term pain for long-term gain. You know, one of those situations, because as I look at the park next summer, and as we've had this park really kind of in transition over the past year, it is kind of painful. And the thing is, Disney's asking us to pay full price for a park that's not at full capacity or full experience. Do you feel the same right now?
No, absolutely. And, you know, I think it's only going to get worse as the next 6 months roll through because, you know, from what I'm hearing, construction will be starting in January. I believe that they there were some plans that got released or leaked or whatever earlier in the month. And, you know, they kind of indicated that that the start date. But keep in mind, this was for infrastructure type stuff only, I believe. So the start date is supposed to be the beginning of the year of 2016. So and then it's supposed to last until 2018. Now, it doesn't say whether they're expecting the whole entire thing to be done in 2018 or whether that's just the infrastructure portion of what needs to be done. And then they can work on the rest of the park, you know what I'm saying? The building, Star Wars Land, and Toy Story Land. So, yeah, that's kind of fuzzy. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, work will be starting in, you know, early 2016. So it's going to be kind of a mess, I think, beginning at that point. And yeah, it's a lot to ask for people to pay that much money for the park because, I mean, when you think about it, there's really only like five rides in the entire park. I mean, I know the park started as, you know, not only two rides, but it started as a different concept anyway. So it wasn't supposed to be a full day park at that point. It was supposed to be a half day park. So, and of course it didn't cost, you know, almost $100 to get in. So,
yeah.
So, that's very different as well, but yeah, so it's just, you know, five real rides, and then the rest are some kind of extremely dated shows at this point, with the exception of, you know, the Frozen sing-along celebration, which was really just a Band-Aid show.
Yeah, it's a bridge.
Didn't mean to catch on, but it did, so, you know, it's limping along, that's for sure, so, I don't know.
Here's the thing, though, okay, so, you know, as we look at it for the summer, you know, we're going through where we're not going to have anything really new other than, like you said, the temporary type things. Like earlier in the month, they announced Club Villain, you know, that's that hard ticket event, right? What's the thing going to dance to the Radio Disney stuff? What's that called?
That one is called Club Disney. And
Club Disney.
I think that this, it's the Sunset Showcase is what they've built. And it's at the end of Sunset Boulevard, obviously, it would be on Sunset because of the name, but it's sort of in between Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster. You can actually see the building from the Rock and Roller Coaster queue. So what this is supposed to be is a flex space, and it's gonna go through different iterations of different things. I'm going to assume that most of them will be some sort of dance party because they did have to take away the, you know, they did take away the hat, the sorcerer hat, and that was where, you know, a majority of the dance party type things happened. It'll be interesting to see whether those type of things return in the future, either here or in the Sunset Showcase Theater. But Club Disney, I think that's only temporary until like for the holiday season, Christmas. And then they're rolling out Club Villain, which, yes, that's a hard ticket event. It's going to feature Dr. Facilier, who is going to be the master of ceremonies. It will have some of your favorite female villains, like I think, you know, Cruella de Vil, the Queen of Hearts, those type of people will be featured there as well. And it's going to be a dining experience. So you're going to get to eat a cuisine that is inspired by New Orleans, which makes sense. Dr. Facilier is, you know, from that area. And so that makes sense with Princess and the Frog type thing. And there's going to be a DJ, obviously, of course. And then I believe there's going to be kind of like an entertainment type show as well. So that takes place during it, too. So, you know, that right now is only scheduled for Saturdays. It's not scheduled for a very long period of time. I think it was only, if I remember right, only scheduled right now until March. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what they use the space for as things continue and what kind of dance party, because clearly that's probably what's going in there, is going to be the next thing that's announced for that space. So.
And I think, you know, Disney's looking at something, you know, it's like, we have to have stuff to put on the, you know, the pamphlet that you get when you go through the gates. You know,
right.
They say you have this many attractions, like, you know, you have a full day. We're asking you to pay full price. So we got to have enough things on the pamphlet that you have to do, you know, at least, you know, ideally, you know, maybe it's not. The problem is that, you know, if you have a toddler, say, for example, or an elementary age kid who's not into, say, Tower or Rock and Roller Coaster, you have very limited things. You know, you took out the Animation Academy.
Absolutely.
You're losing, you know, things like Little Mermaid will be going away, I'm sure. You know, it's just you start to lose a lot of these things, and you really have a tight demographic as to who's going to really see this park as a full-day park. It's a challenge for the younger kids right now, especially.
It is. And I know that they're going to try. I'm sure that they're going to try to fill that void a little bit with the Star Wars. Oh, my gosh. What is it called? The bay. Oh, my gosh.
Launch bay.
Mm-hmm. That's the word I was looking for. Launch. So I know they're going to try to fulfill a little bit of that need with that. You know, but I really don't know how exciting it would be for, you know, toddlers either, because it's probably going to be a lot of displays of movie props and things like that. There will be some meet and greets with some characters, I'm sure, in that area. So, you know, there will be a little bit there. But again, I don't really know how much there will be that toddlers will really enjoy. So, yeah, it's a tough park to go to if you have little ones at this point. And it's terrible to say that. But, you know, and there are some things that are available for toddlers and little ones, but there's just not a whole lot.
Is it fair to say, though? I mean, okay, so Walt Disney World, because I don't think we have this mindset, but maybe we need to start getting this mindset where Walt Disney World has 4 theme parks. And, you know, I think a lot of times we think every theme park is for every age and you have different parts of each park for each kind of, you know, demographic, or, you know, the Magic Kingdom's more universal, you know, it's got more things for everybody, just themed. But, you know, maybe, you know, they're making the studios more of like a, you know, an adrenaline junkie park, or more of an in-depth experience park where, you know, maybe you don't take the toddlers. Even though you have stuff like Playhouse Disney, don't get me wrong, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, but maybe the parks are getting more specific to where you look at the parks almost like we used to look at lands at the Magic Kingdom. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you just don't go there for a few years if you have that set. And then it's, you know, you kind of evolve into that's where your family is at that point. I don't know, you know?
Knowing Disney, I don't see them wanting to cut off their arm. You know what I'm saying? Like that.
That's a good point.
I feel like if they did that, if they strictly focused their kind of attention on that type of thing, then they would absolutely be cutting off their arm. And I just don't see them doing that. That's kind of the problem. I know that a lot of people have problems with Universal for that reason. You know, Universal is definitely a more thrilling park than anything that Disney has to offer, essentially. And so, you know, I and a lot of people do, they kind of go, well, I don't know if taking my small child there is going to be the best thing. Now, in the future, that may not be the case. They, you know, they are getting Nintendo, and that's kind of a cool thing. And I believe that's probably going in where the kids area is. But, of course, nothing official has been announced. So don't, you know, just take that with a grain of salt. But, you know, so I think that if you completely say this park is for this demographic, then, you know, you're not going to get the parents to spend the money to go to that park. And that would be a very poor decision, I think, on Disney's part. So they definitely want to try to keep it as open as possible for all age demographics. So I definitely don't see them going that route. Obviously, time will tell, but I certainly don't see them going that route.
Yeah, it makes sense because everything is driven by the dollar and you don't want your stock. You know, you want to be able to show growth in every park, you know, every quarter. So that wouldn't make sense. I get you there. Now, let me ask you this. OK, so we agree that this summer is going to be rough. And,
yes. And I think it's only going to be even more rough than we can even imagine right now.
Yeah,
yes.
I think so, too. And, you know, but, you know, from what I've heard, you know, you're always looking for a comparison as to something that's similar to what you're going to go through, the experience. And the best comparison I've ever heard, you know, at least from people that I respect and listen to, is that this is going to be on the level of a California Adventure type major park reimagineering, where California Adventure was just a mess. And then they took it And it really got to be just a terrible mess with just walls everywhere. But, you know, and this is where we kind of get to the 3 years down the road. Once we start to get some walls coming down, it's not completely done, but mostly done, where you have a lot more experiences. So in 3 years, you go down there in the summer, you know, what do you expect? Because, I mean, you know, California Adventure is very well received now. It's like, oh, Disney should have done this in the first place.
Yeah, I think, again, I think it will depend on the timing of how they want to do this. If it's a thing where they are just finishing with the infrastructure in 2018, and then they still have to build the attractions, it still may be a little rough. I'm hoping that they have learned their lesson and are going to want to push this, since, as I mentioned, Universal, you know, they're down the road and they are building like crazy and putting attractions in, you know, each park for the next 5 years, I think. So Disney, I think, may want to get on the ball a little bit more with this. I'm hoping by 2018.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you think, I mean, because Disney's way has always been kind of slow and thoughtful in that, but I mean, is there going to be a mindset change, or is there starting to be? Because, I mean, think about it. Like you said, Universal's committed to putting in new attractions, you know, at least one every five, you know, but every year for the next 5 years. But, I mean, they've also, they're putting it, the water park's going to be opening right down the street. New hotels that are, you know, really well done. I mean, the thing is, at some point, Disney, you know, they got to stick to their guns. They're the big guy, but they can't drag their feet forever. They got to get something there. I mean, I know they're picking up the pace on Avatar Land from what I've heard, but I mean, they need to pick up the pace kind of everywhere as best they can.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that they're going to have to. And so my hope is that at the very least, we do have one land open by 2018. I'm hoping that, I think that Toy Story Land will probably be the easiest open, all things considered, you know, just looking at the scope of that land versus the scope of Star Wars Land. I think that that's going to be much easier to accomplish in a shorter period of time, if that's kind of their goal. So I would definitely expect to see Toy Story Land open. Now, whether Star Wars Land is open at that point or not, you know, I'm not sure. That might be another couple of years down the road after that. But I would certainly assume, guess, at least, that Toy Story will probably be open in 3 years. Of course, that's just an educated guess, not anything to back that up with. But, you know, just they have to have something by 3 years open in that park, because they can't keep limping along like they are. And they're just going to keep turning people off if they keep doing that. So
that's true. And you know, they just, I think that, you know, Disney fans that are listening to today's podcast, you know, there's a lot of us that we're patient with Disney, and we, you know, we know that in the end we usually get something nice, but I mean, also, I think we're frustrated fans at some point, because we want things to move a little quicker. And we know that we can't just wave a wand, even though it is Disney. You can't wave a wand and boom, you have a land. I mean, it just doesn't happen.
Darn it.
But you know, I think that Universal's really trying to push Disney. And I think when you see that, it gets you a little antsy as a Disney fan. Just like, you know, it's like in sports, you know, if one team starts signing all the stars, you know, you have a good team, but they're kind of standing pat. It's tough to see at some point, even though there are things, like you said, they have to build infrastructure. They have to redo where you're going to come into the park.
Completely. This park is going to be completely different by the time it's all said and done.
Oh yeah, I mean they're taking wetlands, you know, making new wetlands to replace. I mean, that's the kind of stuff where, you know, you're not seeing AT-ATs thrown into the park right now. You know, you're not seeing Star Destroyers, because to do that, they have to talk about roads and sewers and the stuff that is so boring, but I guess it's necessary.
For me and you, yes, exactly. I don't want to know about sewers. Come on, let's go.
Let me ask you this, because, you know, we want to keep it fun here. So, you know, Toy Story Land is the second big, you know, it's going to be in there as well. Everybody's talking about Star Wars Land, which is going to be incredible, I'm sure. But was Toy Story Land, was that the best choice for Disney to put into this park when they announced that? Is that something that, wow, they're really smart? Or, you know, what are your thoughts on that? Because everybody's kind of got their opinion on Star Wars, but Toy Story's been like, oh yeah, it's like, oh yeah, they're going to do that too.
Yeah, that's coming. You know, I think that it's going to be a nice addition to the park. I'm kind of optimistic, wait and see. I'm certainly happy that they are not doing what they did at at Paris and in Hong Kong, where it was, you know, like the RC racer type thing. And I think that this is a step up from what they did there. It's a little bit nicer. You know, it'll be interesting to see how the roller coaster, you know, pans out and what else comes with it. Because obviously it's going to be its own little mini land. So it's going to have, you know, a little bit of dining with it. And of course, some shopping. So I think that will be very interesting to see kind of what they come up with that. And then you have the alien, green alien men, which, you know, granted, they haven't come out with a lot of information about it, but I believe it's very similar to what was at Cars Land with the Mater's Junkyard Jamboree, and which that is so much fun. Oh my gosh, I enjoyed that attraction way more than I ever thought that I would. So, I mean, that right there, if that's what they're going for, that's a win. So I'm really excited about that. And, you know, yeah, it's going to be a little more of a mini land. I mean, it's not as... I don't think it's going to be as grand as Star Wars will be in any way, shape, or form. It's going to be interesting, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be lighthearted, and they're going to have some great theming there. But it's not going to be the same type of theming that you see at Star Wars by any stretch of the imagination, I don't think. You know, so I'm excited about it, and I think it's necessary. I do wish that maybe put in a third little bitty attraction, just, you know, because like you said, there's not that much for kids to do. So, you know, if they had something that was maybe something that maybe the little ones would enjoy, not a Dumbo spinner, but, you know, something else, that might be nice. But I'm sure that's not being added. I think that, you know, they pretty well had the plans pretty good. Although, you know, hey, they did have the plans pretty good for New Fantasyland, and watch, that changed. So
that changed a lot. But you know what? I think they were smart, though. They changed it, and I think it became better.
Absolutely.
Because when I first heard about that with, like, the, you know, you're making birthday cards for Cinderella, I was like, how dumb is this? Like,
right, exactly.
You know, Seven Dwarfs Mine Train is definitely better than that. You know,
that's a step up. So, I mean, I'm certainly excited about the Toy Story Land. I mean, Toy Story is one of my favorite movies, so I can't be mad that they're building a Toy Story Land. And we all know how I feel about Star Wars, but...
But Toy Story, I mean, it's a safe bet. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, like, yeah. You know, because it's got a lot of characters, and it's basically a timeless movie. You know, in
Absolutely.
20 years, they're still going to be Toy Story fans. You know, people
Absolutely.
Are still going to be with Buzz and Woody and, you know, everybody. So,
yes.
Okay, so let me ask you. So in 3 years, we kind of agree that we're still, and this is, you know, it's hard to believe, but we're still in construction. We're probably getting some phase openings of either Toy Story Land or Star Wars Land, but we're still not there in 3 years, do you think? I mean, are we done? Or no, we're not, right?
I don't think we're done. No. It would be really, knowing Disney and their hype train, I think it would be very poor of them to open both lands at the same time. So I don't see that happening. I see them opening one and then the other, from a marketing standpoint. You know, I definitely don't see them opening them both at the same time.
Yeah, because they can get more mileage out of it.
Absolutely,
that way.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, so let's go to the last thing here, because we don't want to go too long. It's Thanksgiving week. People are going here and there and everywhere.
That's right.
But, okay, so 10 years down the road. Okay,
yeah.
So optimistically, you know, 10 years is a long time. Everything's done. Now,
yes.
You know, as somebody who's a Disney fan, y'all guys know that I'm optimistic in things. I mean, does this park with, you know, all the changes to even the traffic flow, the parking, the dining options are going to evolve over these next 10 years. Everything's going to change. Is there a chance that, you know, we're dogging on this sitting here at the end of 2015, but say in 2025, 2026, this park is so awesome that it's, you know, Universal with their Harry Potter Land over, you know, how it is now and every, you know, all that stuff. They're looking at Disney's Hollywood Studios and like, oh man, this is killing us. I mean, could this park be on the level of a Magic Kingdom 10 years from now?
That's a good question. On a Magic Kingdom level,
I mean, Star Wars Land. I mean, if they really go after it, you know what I'm saying? Like, Star Wars has so many fans. I mean,
so many fans.
Then you got Toy Story, and then maybe, you know, because you have some really good things in the studios right now. Who knows if they'll be around in 10 years? But they have, you know, if they really are smart about it, I mean, could this surpass Epcot as the number two park
with that? I think. think that it's going to certainly give Epcot a run for its money. Let's put it that way. I think that it will certainly increase. Obviously, it's going to increase Hollywood Studios, you know, cachet. But I don't think it will beat Magic Kingdom, just because Magic Kingdom is Magic Kingdom. I think that it will certainly. As a matter of fact, I just actually read an article this week. Oh, it was a couple weeks ago. Anyway, I just read an article, and it was about whether or not Epcot was going to be the last theme park in, like, you know, as far as, you know, in what place it was in, that it could be in last place by 2020. Just because, you know, you have something like Avatar coming in, which, you know, obviously that doesn't have as big of a draw right now. Who knows what will happen when the movies ever eventually finally come out, whether they'll be smash successes or whether the fad will have gone, you know, from everybody's eyes at that point. I mean, I don't really think it was much of a fad to begin with, but whatever, that's just me. So, you know, but the park itself, I think, is going to be transformed into a completely, obviously, Disney's Hollywood Studios or Disney's Animal Kingdom will be transformed into a completely different park by the time when all that's said and done. So I think it's going to be a gorgeous area, and I think Rivers of Light is going to be a huge addition to that park. So I definitely think that's going to increase Animal Kingdom, and then you're going to add this on top of it at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and I mean you're going to add Star Wars to it. That's going to be another big push. So Epcot may be in last place according to that article, and it makes sense because really all they're doing is they're right now is adding Frozen and changing Soarin', and that's it. That's all we got right now, and no big plans on the horizon anytime soon besides those two things. And you know, I know Frozen will be huge, but I don't think it's going to be as big as Star Wars. And I don't know that it's going to, you know, I don't think that one attraction is going to take away from what Animal Kingdom is going to have to offer at that point. So we'll have to see where that goes. I don't know. I think it might be second place, Disney's Hollywood Studios, in 10 years. But especially because I don't think they're done. So I don't think they're going to be done after Star Wars. That's just a hunch, but.
Yeah, the thing is, you know, with Star Wars, you know, 10 years from now, who knows what how the movies will be? Because, you know, the new trilogy should tank.
I mean.
Well, no, it's not good. Don't say that. You just gave me like a cold sweat.
I'm sorry.
I'm like 3 weeks out now from seeing episode 7 now, and you just gave me a cold sweat. They're going to be awesome. But, I mean, in 10 years, that'll be wrapped, you know, and you have those character movies. But who knows where that universe goes because it's timeless. It'll be going.
They didn't pay all that money for just the three, and that's it. They've
gotten back. So that was the Best Buy ever. But
it's
interesting though, because I like that you know that article is interesting because you know I think as Disney fans, things have been pretty static over the past decade. You know the Disney decade of the 90s with Eisner, man, hotels everywhere, you know, theme parks, water parks, you know, downtown Disney, you know, everything was just, you know, Disney Vacation Club changing and modifying, you know, just so many things happening where it's been stagnant here for a while. And you're right. I mean, the thought of Epcot is the fourth, you know, theme park out of the four down in Florida. It's almost mind blowing. It's almost heresy because as a Disney fan, you always think Magic Kingdom, Epcot Studios, Animal Kingdom. But I mean, you know, this is why they're investing in changing things up. So it is fun to see, you know, who knows in 10 years, we'll have to revisit and see if that is in fact the case.
Absolutely. See if Disney's Hollywood Studios is number two or, you know, if the other one of the other parks beat it. But I think it's going to be number two at that point. Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to hear what you have to say. So drop by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give us a little feedback. What do you think? You know, in 10 years, what's the studios going to be like? Are we optimistic that this is going to be an awesome place? People are going to make their vacation just to go to Disney's Hollywood Studios. Or are we, hoping for a little bit too much? How are things going to go? So let us know what you think about today's show. Again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com or facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Drop by today and give us your comments. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the good folks over at touringplans.com. And the one thing we know is that no matter what happens at Disney's Hollywood Studios, you're going to need a great touring plan to get around the crowds, and they always update the construction and the closures, so you know that. So you'll have a great plan of attack to make the most out of your time in your Disney parks. So remember, time's money on a Disney vacation. So, you know, it's so inexpensive to get a touringplans.com premium subscription for a year. It's really the cost of a couple burgers on your vacation, and you're going to save hours and hours that you can spend at the pool, playing putt-putt, just hanging out and having a great, you know, hey, vacationing. Hey, what a thought. So check them out today. Support the folks who support us. They're over at touringplans.com. Don't forget to check out Magical Mouse Radio, where on Thursday, we're a couple days away from the Walt Disney World Holiday Audio returning for the Christmas season. So be ready for that. We're going to flip the switch right away. That's it. And we're probably doing a few previews already because I got the itch. But yeah, check that out. It'll be in the rotation. Lots and lots of holiday audio starting on Thanksgiving Day all the way through the new year. So again, check it out. MagicalMouseRadio.com. Give us a follow on the social media. We're at Be Our Guest Mike on Twitter. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast and drop by the forums, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And don't forget, you can grab the show on Stitcher Smart Radio and TuneIn Radio. Two great ways to take the Be Our Guest Podcast with you wherever you go on all devices. All right, well, that's going to do it for us today. We appreciate you starting your Monday with us here on the podcast. Hope you enjoyed the show. A little Mike and Ricky to get your Monday started. And, we'll be back again on Wednesday answering your pre-turkey listener questions.
Gobble, gobble.
That's right. So for Ricky, Debbie, and Pam, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Don't work too hard. It's a holiday week.
I'm not working too hard. I know that. Do.
That's right. So we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.